This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we're discussing whether or not Malaysians are too lax about the health risks of our food. If you're only just joining us as well, we just had the story about episode 7-Eleven, how the empire is striking back against Mr. Mitoshi Matsumoto, who wanted to close his 7-Eleven franchise store on New Year's Day. And because he did so, he got in trouble with the master franchisor. They've stopped stocking him. They refused to talk to him. They're generally being meanies, aren't they?
They're taking him to court.
Yes. If you'd like to get in touch regarding our story about whether Malaysians are too lax about the health risks of our food, 018-789-8899 is the number to text us on. You can get us on Twitter or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. That poll that is running on Instagram is now at 97% of you believe that Malaysians are too lax about the health risks of our food, compared to just 3%. Mm-hmm. Right. Onwards and upwards. Oh, well, we have a WhatsApp message.
Yeah, so this comes from Johan, who says, a bit of dirty is fine, kind of like indirect vaccination to build our immunity. Ooh. But food poisoning due to chemicals, that's a different thing altogether. Mm. Raz says about the 7-Eleven, give the guy a break, it's just one day in a year.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And then there's one from Ro, who says, the rats and cockroaches kill more than secondhand smoke is quite possibly the most ridiculous thing said in 2020. 13% of cancer-related deaths are from secondhand smoke. 0.0% of the world dies from poor hygiene. What? And he goes like, you know, so it doesn't make much sense.
Why don't we give those to each other's telephone numbers and they can have an offline conversation?
Call each other and fight. Yeah. And then numbers 8957 says, the risk accepted by many Malaysians in pursuit of good and cheap food outside eateries that do display documentation on their source of ingredients tend to be overpriced. But a side thought, what about water? If I were to be pedantic, I'm sure the filtered water served is not really filtered or boiled, because it always has that direct tap water taste, if you know what
yeah.
I mean, unless we order hot water.
That's so true.
Yeah, thanks for that. And now I'm having second thoughts about my teh tarik.
It's the chlorine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right then, you're in a talkative mood as well now then. Mm-hmm. Talk about some streaming music for me and whether or not it's bad for the environment.
Yes.
Is it or not?
Long story short, yes.
Oh,
yeah, it's bad. So one of the benefits of using like streaming services instead of like physical media and like buying CDs and stuff is that they're supposed to be better for the environment. Streaming involves less plastic than CDs and vinyl, so they should technically be more eco-friendly. But apparently that's not the case, because streaming needs a lot of energy to produce, store and play. A research team from the University of Glasgow in Britain found that the price consumers are willing to pay for listening to music has never been lower, but the environmental impact of listening to music has never been higher, which is a bummer. 40 years ago, US consumers were willing to pay about 5% of an average weekly salary for an album. That fell to 1.2% by 2013. So that was the start of like streaming and downloading and getting MP3s and stuff. So the dilemma that the music scene is facing at the moment is streaming isn't all bad, because the study shows that there was a significant reduction in plastics because people stopped buying CDs. So that's good. In the year 2000, 61 million kilograms of plastic was used by the recording industry in the US. That fell to just 8 million kilograms by 2016. Still a huge number, but you know, it's far from 61 million. So on one hand, you have less plastic use, but storing and processing music online uses a lot of resources and energy to maintain and store that. And because of that, it burdens the environment. In fact, some researchers argue that streaming has caused more carbon emissions than any previous point in the history of music. Do you guys ever feel like every time you get to enjoy something, or every time you get
to... Well, I do now, yeah, even before
you
finish your sentence.
Every time you get to enjoy something nice and something good, someone somewhere finds out that what you're doing is actually horrible and is impacting the environment way worse than you were before when you were buying CDs and stuff.
I had a discussion with somebody from a large telecommunication company about smart cities.
Yeah.
And the topic of discussion got around to the amount of data that we need for making a smart city work, and you know, data storage and how much of an impact they have on the environment. And you know, he was saying it is a huge amount of impact, and there are ways and means around it, including like stuff like solar panels and whatever, and depending on where they're located. But yeah, it's a huge issue. And that made me think about little things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said at the beginning, when we talk about food safety, it was one of those kind of transient concerns where I kind of went, oh, that's something we're going to have to think about in the future, and kind of put it to the back of my mind as I went back to Spotify and YouTube.
Your Discover Weekly playlist and stuff.
Yeah. And I think the reason that we think like that is because it seems so far removed from a physical object of putting a plastic CD into, you know, a CD player. Mm-hmm. You don't even think about it until somebody points out that, you know,
it just ruins your week.
We are contributing even further to global warming. Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it's not tangible to us. Like, you know, with the CDs and your cassettes and the foil that wrapped it when you have to unwrap it when you buy a new one, you know, all of that reminds you of the plastic and the paper and the CD itself. But this way, you know, we're just clicking a button on our desktops or on our mobile phones that we don't feel it. But it also makes me think about, I mean, like with blockchain and with Bitcoin, you know, it's supposed to help with security. It's supposed to be the way of the future, cryptocurrency. And all of that, but that is also taking up a lot of server space and a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. What about cloud computing and everything else that we use cloud for? So everything just have, like, you know, you win some, you lose some, but this time it feels like we're losing more, but we just don't realize it.
You don't realize it, So, like, the two major music streaming services, Apple and Spotify, they say they are aware of this, they know the impact that it causes, and they're saying that they're taking the issue seriously. So, Spotify says that its streaming and computing platform is nearly 100% carbon neutral, which is good. And it also has a few pilot projects to promote sustainability in the pipeline. Apple says that it... all its facilities in 43 countries around the world are powered solely by electricity from renewable sources, which is nice to hear. And the researchers have pointed out that they're not telling consumers they shouldn't enjoy music. They just want consumers to understand that changing costs are involved in music consumption. And they also want these, like, major tech companies to take notice and, you know, do something about the way they impact the environment. So the more they know that we know, then we put accountability on them to change the way they do things and you know, have, like, eco-friendly servers.
But that's where we find the double-edged sword, isn't it? You know, we are wanting to consume more digital content. We talk about consuming digital content, more Netflix episodes, bigger playlists, one thing or another. And the more that we want to do that, the more data centers need to ramp up and give us that data and catch 22 again.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder whether or not when companies like Napster or whoever it was back in the day first started up, this was even something that they even thought about, you know, and I'm guessing it probably wasn't. You know, data consumption back then was nowhere near as much as it is now.
So interesting that you said Napster. I always wondered, like, was Napster more eco-friendly than streaming services? Because technically, P2P, no one actually needs to have giant servers. You need giant servers to sort of facilitate the exchange of music.
Yeah.
But everybody owns their own. They don't own. I mean, they keep their own music legally or illegally. But you are using someone else's PC or computer or hard drive to pull the music from. So it's basically all P2P. So in a way, Napster might have been more eco-friendly than the streaming services we have now, even though Napster was completely illegal.
That's food for thought.
Yeah, in a way. I'm not sure if the tech is correct, but in a way.
If you know the answer to that, let us know. Speaking of food for thought, we have to wrap up, of course, and our topic of discussion for today was whether or not Malaysians were too lax or are too lax about the health risks of our food. And just to quickly give you the results of the poll to see if it has changed at all, I'm going to go over to Instagram right now. I'm going to push this little button and find out that the numbers are 95% of you think that Malaysians are too lax about the health risks of our food. Of course, we then moved on to
how 7-Eleven struck back against an owner who decided to take New Year's Day off.
And then we spoke about how our streaming services or streaming music, is it bad for the environment?
There we go then, folks. The short answer to that question is yes, it is. Happy thoughts on a Tuesday afternoon. Right, if you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you listen to it from. Of course, we're also on Spotify. And if you want to stick around, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. And since the first commercially viable light bulb by Thomas Edison in 1879, we've moved on from LEDs to lighting for Internet of Things and even light as a new communication tool. Helping us to understand this transition was Alec Ghosh, the ASEAN CEO of Signify. They are a global leading lighting company They were on The Breakfast Grill this morning talking about how the company plans to stay relevant in a very challenging operating environment. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj, Audrey Raj, and our producer, Christine Wong, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon here on BFM 89.9 for Enterprise Biz Bytes. See you tomorrow. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.